Our most recent Wild Wondering West Virginia question came from Wheeling resident Brian Joseph. He wanted to know about the Appalachian Mountains and their sister mountains and how they shape who we are.
We think we are who we are, but remember even our state motto, Montanis Semper Libri, which is mountaineers will always be free.
We set out to understand the history of the ground beneath our feet in Appalachia, something admittedly many people spend a lifetime exploring. We will now meander through the Appalachians in an attempt to pack a 1.2 billion year history into the next couple of minutes. It's a story that may surprise you because while many people consider the Appalachian Mountains among the oldest on Earth, they might also be the youngest. Our story starts on a steep slope in the northern panhandle of West Virginia.
And now what we're walking up to, just came into view, is our apple orchard here on Wheeling Housing Authority owned land. But you know, in the context of what we've been talking about, calling it owned land is almost silly.
This is Danny Swan, Executive Director of Grow Ohio Valley, a nonprofit that wants to improve communities around here through local food. He wanted to grow blueberries on this hillside, but can't because of what happened here several hundred million years ago.
250 to 300 million years ago, we were underwater. This was the Permian period, underwater in a shallow ocean with an ecosystem that looked a lot like modern day coral reefs. What are coral reefs primarily composed of? Calcium.
Turns out blueberries are not into growing in calcium-rich soil for reasons we should have learned about in high school.
So here we are standing on top of a mountain in the Rust Belt Appalachian city of Wheeling, West Virginia, working against agricultural problems that are the result of a ecological system that was happening 250 to 300 million years ago.
The young apple trees here, though, appear to be thriving. Danny and his team of farmers are making it work. But in order to do that well, he did find himself literally and figuratively dipping into the story of the Appalachian Mountains. It's a story that shapes what he's doing, what he's eating, what he's feeding his community, and, well, we are what we eat. To think about the lifespan of a mountain range is to impose a human sense of time on geology. Humans can live 100 years. Mountains typically live 100 million years. Oh, and by the way, the Appalachian region is more than a billion years old. Now, while it's commonly thought that the Appalachian chain is one of the oldest on the planet, the reality is very complicated.
How do you date mountains? We don't have a way of dating topography.
That's West Virginia University geology professor Steve Kite. He explains the rocks in the Appalachians are not actually the oldest in the world. But boy, do they tell us a long and detailed story about the region. The truth is, several mountain chains have been born here, grew, and died away completely.
And there are a couple of mountain building episodes, and those mountains formed, and then they wore down. Things were kind of quiet. And those mountains formed even later at about 450 million years ago, and those wore down, and things were kind of quiet. And then about 360 million years ago, another mountain building episode, and those mountains wore away, and things were kind of quiet. And then the big Alleghenian mountain building episode.
He's talking there about Pangaea, the most recent supercontinent. The range that was born then predates dinosaurs by at least 100 million years, by the way. And those mountains have long since eroded away, gone 150 million years ago. So here's the plot twist. Geologists don't quite know how to explain how the Appalachian Mountains that exist here today exist at all.
The Appalachian Mountains have popped back up. The topography that we see today really dates back to the last 20 million years or so.
Kite says scientists have only recently discovered and begun to build theories explaining this geologic mystery.
It may be indirectly related to the mountain building episodes that were going on the West Coast. the Laramide mountain building event that gives us the Rocky Mountains. You can think about if there's a train wreck on the far side of the mountain, there's likely to be stresses transmitted, you know, pretty far.
There are other theories as well, but the long and the short of it is the mountains seem to be growing again. You could argue that the Appalachians are one of the oldest and maybe one of the youngest mountain ranges in the world. So, ours is very much a story of rebirth. The mountain remnants that give us historical clues today also exist in northern Europe, Scotland, and in northern Africa, the Atlas Mountains. I mentioned to my dad recently that I wished I could visit the Atlas Mountains. He's a pilot and a storyteller, and he's lived many lives. So I wasn't totally surprised when he mentioned that he's actually already been.
So what was it like? What was it like in the mountains?
People were very poor, but very hospitable. I spent a lot of time in someone's house while they were beating out copper pans, putting all kinds of designs on them, and with moon-shaped things and star-shaped things, and, you know, just all these things would be taken into the local souk market, set to be sold to tourists, and milking goats and just living a very simple life with some very simple, honest people.
Talk to me about the stars.
Well, the stars, I thought the stars in the desert, in the Moroccan desert, were incredible. But they were nothing like the stars when you got up about 14,000 feet above sea level. Perfectly dry air, freezing cold. But the stars were just, there were so many, there were so, you just, the skies were so clear, the air was so clear, you could see. It felt like you could just stir them up with your hands.
My dad said the Atlas Mountains didn't look anything like Appalachia. But it's worth noting that people do come from all over to stargaze here, as the darkest place on the East Coast is nestled within the Appalachian Mountains. Researchers think people first inhabited both the Appalachians and the Atlas Mountains around the same time, roughly 14,000 years ago. But time and latitudes have shaped the ranges very differently. It would be great to be able to explore the Atlas Mountains like my father did, to speak with people in mountain communities and see how they live and what they value. Here in West Virginia, for example, we say Montani Sempre Libre, mountaineers are always free. So I was intrigued to find that in the Atlas Mountains, they call themselves Amaziran, which translates to free people. I learned this from an Amaziri woman named Ikram Benaisha, who lived for a spell in Charleston, West Virginia.
The Atlas Mountains are wild and beautiful.
Ikram grew up visiting her grandparents in a town surrounded by the Atlas Mountains. It's where her dad grew up.
I have a lot of memories as a kid. We used to go once a year, and on our way to where my dad is from, we used to listen to those like beautiful songs in Shilha or Amazigh language. And it happens to me that every time like I wanna travel in time and space, I would just like play one of those songs, and it just makes my day. The geography have shaped not only my grandparents, but my dad. It shaped me as well. Back in the days, it was very hard to live in the mountains. They used to lack access to improved sanitation and to safe water. My dad have taught me to be determined. He used to tell me stories from his childhood, how tough it was and how committed he had to be. My dad is my hero. He's the purest version of an ambitious Amaziri from the Atlas Mountains.
I'd heard that people native to the mountains were called Berber. Ikram had to explain to me that the term is offensive because it connotes being backward or uncivilized, which made me think of the terms redneck and hillbilly. She says it misrepresents the Amaziran, the free people. I can relate.
The Atlas Mountains are the perfect place to seek calmness and joy. The Amazigh communities are very welcoming and very generous. And honestly, I have noticed a lot of similarities once I was in West Virginia.
Ikram came to West Virginia in 2015 to get a master's degree at West Virginia State University.
To be honest with you, once I have arrived to Charleston, I felt home. I think it's the link that I have with my roots. That's something that I'm very, very proud of.
Ikram also mentioned that she used to listen to country music when she was back home in Morocco. She says artists like Reba McEntire struck a chord with her. I was born a stubborn soul. Ain't afraid of the great unknown or a winding road that's all uphill. This is just a stumbling block. Intimidating wall of rock. If you think this broken heart will break my will. Just as it can be difficult to grasp geologic time, it can be equally challenging to clearly identify the ways that geography shapes us culturally. But in the same breath, nothing can be more influential. Steve Kite, the geologist from WVU, explains that the Appalachians, for example, well, they make it hard to get around, and that may fundamentally shape culture.
The topography of the Appalachians, you know, it's steep. We might be steeper than Colorado, not higher, but steeper.
The steep slopes make it harder to get around. And that inconvenience has carved out some smaller, more isolated communities.
I think one of the characteristics of Appalachians in general, and I call myself a native Appalachians, although I'm from Virginia, it's the westernmost part. I think that isolation of communities winds up making us more locally based and locally focused on our concerns than you would find in a Kansas or a landscape that was flatter and easier to move around in.
Perhaps poets and musicians are best left to illustrate the indescribable deep and ancient mountain roots that connect us to the ground that holds us generation to generation, shaping the farmers, scientists, travelers, and storytellers that we become. Just reflections of the mountains that are born, grow, die away, and are reborn. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board, reporting from some of the oldest and perhaps newest mountains in the world.